Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is?
That's a clip from the sci-fi thriller The Matrix, starring Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne. It was released in 1999. 20 years later, we are still under the influence of The Matrix. So says journalist Mark Harris. His New York Magazine cover story is called "The Matrix Built Our Reality-Denying World." Mark, welcome to Beta. In your piece, you say that The Matrix is omnipresent. What do you mean by that?
You know, with other big movie franchises like, say, Star Wars or Star Trek, the way we talk about them is we talk about them, we talk about the characters, we talk about the reboots, we talk about the situations. The Matrix has had a more kind of insidious secret effect on our culture. It's not that we talk about the movie so much, it's that we use its language. The whole premise of The Matrix, which is that reality is this illusion that is right in front of your eyes, and if you want to see the real reality, you just need to kind of come out of your slumber and be reborn into it. That's the kind of cultural reach that The Matrix has had in the way we talk about things now, that we don't even know it's about The Matrix. When we talk about what if we're all living in a broken simulation, or when people on the internet or on Reddit forums say, take the red pill, which is a line that comes from the original Matrix, which sort of means wake up. Or even when you see a headline like, you've been doing such and such wrong your whole life, as if life is this kind of enigma that you just have to wake up in order to decode. That's all kind of the world that The Matrix helped build.
Yeah. Why do you think that the Matrix doesn't get the same kind of love and devotion that Star Wars and Harry Potter do?
For one thing, The Matrix always had a more limited audience than those other franchises. It was not a movie for kids. In fact, although a lot of kids, of course, saw it, it was one of the first R-rated action blockbusters ever to really have huge impact at the box office. I think another issue with The Matrix is a pretty simple one, which is that people didn't really like the sequels. They were made back-to-back. They came out in the same year, a couple of years later. And, you know, the second Matrix movie is actually by far the highest grossing of the three. That's really a tribute to how popular the first one was and how it grew and grew and grew after its initial release. The third Matrix movie is by far the lowest grossing of the three, and that is a statement about how little people liked the second movie.
Yeah, clearly.
So I think when something, you know, when something doesn't stick the landing necessarily in terms of becoming a franchise, that can kind of pull it out of the long-term popular conversation a little bit.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what The Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Can you give us kind of a brief synopsis of the plot?
Sure. And the funny thing is, The Matrix itself kind of gives people a brief synopsis of its plot right at the beginning. It's the movie is about 2 hours and 10 minutes, and in a way, the first 45 minutes are setting up the terms for the action movie that then follows. And what it basically is the story of Neo, who's played by Keanu Reeves, who's a kind of drudge. He's a computer guy, but he's sort of a low-level, you know, worker ant. He is kind of inducted into the mysteries of the Matrix by two characters, Trinity and Morpheus. Morpheus is Lawrence Fishburne's character, and Morpheus explains to him,
"The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth."
"What truth?"
"That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
The story of the Matrix is partly the story of Neo being reborn, literally in the movie, into the real world. And then the other story of the Matrix is that it's kind of a fun heist slash chase movie, like an Ocean's 11 movie or a Mission Impossible movie. But that kicks in once you are told the premise of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. How much of a debt, if any, do you think The Matrix owes to John Carpenter's 1988 film, They Live? Because in that film, it's kind of the same idea, seeing behind the reality, because there's this drifter, played by my fellow Canadian, the wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper, and he discovers that the ruling class are made up of aliens who are keeping their real appearance hidden, and they're using mass media subliminal messages to manipulate people to spend money, breed, and accept the status quo. Do you think the Wachowskis went to school on that film at all?
I think it's certainly possible. I don't know enough detail about what their thinking was to know if They Live was a specific influence, but I do know that they were very effective. They are very effective pop culture scavengers. I mean, when I rewatched The Matrix recently after 20 years, the thing I really noticed that surprised me was the influence of the Terminator movies. Mm. That, you know, those were the big kind of prevailing sci-fi dystopian fantasy for about, you know, 10 or 12 years before The Matrix came along. And there is actual language in the dialogue of The Matrix that sort of almost makes it a companion piece to the Terminator movies.
We have only bits and pieces of information, but what we know for certain is that at some point in the early 21st century, all of mankind was united in celebration. We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
AI? You mean artificial intelligence?
A singular consciousness that spawned an entire race of machines. We don't know who struck first, us or them, but we know that it was us that scorched the sky.
At I mean, time, that's pretty much taking the world building of the Terminator and using it for new means. And the other thing I think was a very visible influence on The Matrix wasn't a movie, but a TV show, The X-Files. Mm. I think for several years, by the time The Matrix came out, The X-Files had been playing with the idea that there was a world controlled by forces that most people, even people under the thumb of those forces, were unaware of. And that, you know, you had to be a believer in order to grasp exactly what was going on. The X-Files had been, I think, around for 5 or 6 seasons. The first movie had already come out. So that idea was really ready to be kind of more fully explored in a movie, and I think The Matrix did that.
Yeah, yeah. You described The Matrix as an elaborate, wordy, barely comprehensible piece of world building. Can you explain why it doesn't do a very good job of building its own world?
You know, I'm not sure that it doesn't do a good job. In some ways, you could argue that the sequels almost do too good a job, that they're more about world building and establishing their rules than about forward motion. But I think one thing that's very shrewd about the world building in The Matrix is that because it's kind of nonspecific in the first movie, it can appeal to anyone. If there's an ideology to The Matrix, it's basically anti-establishment or anti-control. It says some force is running the show. The force that's running the show is malevolent and does not wish you well. The only way that you're going to overthrow that is by becoming aware of it. And that, as far as kind of dystopian world building goes, is about as one size fits all as you can get. Mm. I mean, and I think that's one reason that Matrix thinking has kind of permeated the culture, that idea, take the red pill, has become in some ways a rallying cry of the alt-right, but the structure that the Matrix creates can be appropriated just as easily by libertarians, because it's really about the primacy of the individual, or by people on the left who could take it as an anti-corporate metaphor.
Yeah.
So The Matrix has never excluded anyone from enjoying it on ideological grounds.
Yeah, it's very malleable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. You argue in your story that The Matrix didn't anticipate our world, but that it anticipated it and probably created a new way of viewing that world. How was it able to accomplish this?
It's really interesting when you are talking about a piece of influential pop culture, you always have to ask, was it prescient or did it just get lucky? Mm. And I think the answer is almost always both. I mean, The Matrix did not create the world we're in, but it was one of the first movies to feature what I think of as a stay-at-home hero.
Something wrong, man? You look a little whiter than usual.
My computer, you ever have that feeling where you're not sure if you're awake or still dreaming?
All the time. Hey, look, it just sounds to me like, you know, you need to unplug, man. You know, get some R&R.
The two things it didn't anticipate, or maybe it was smart enough to guess before the rest of us knew, are, one, a world where we would all be sitting in front of screens all the time, and two, a world in which all information would come to us through those screens, and that we in turn would spit our little piece of information back out into those screens via social media. You know, if The Matrix was smart enough to understand that we were all going to be looking at the world through laptops at some point, that's really impressive. And I think it's a reason that it still seems relevant to a lot of people.
It seems like the Morpheus quote.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
That seems to have really resonated and become part of our common language. I Googled it yesterday and got 219 million results. How do you see that phrase playing out in our society today?
Well, I think everybody's absolute belief in their own righteousness is not something that the Matrix invented, but it's something that is hugely magnified by social media, where everyone is an evangelist for something, whether it's, a movie that they like or an episode of a TV show that they hate or an entire ideology.
Your appearance now is what we call residual self-image. It is the mental projection of your digital self.
It's a very strange thing for people to have followers. That's a really strange way to view yourself. And even though it's become second nature to us, there's something creepy about a social media system in which everyone is a potential prophet. And I think, again, The Matrix didn't create that, but the world that followed The Matrix made the kind of language that is used in The Matrix a really good fit for social media.
Yeah, yeah, that's very much the case. Yeah, I was very intrigued by your statement that The Matrix is in every single Everything You Know About X Is Wrong story. Can you tell me about that?
Right. Well, I think it's a funny thing. This was something my editor for the piece pointed out to me, and I think he was very smart about it, that, you know, you can write a story about how to boil an egg, and you could headline it, "Here's a foolproof way to make sure your hard-boiled egg comes out right every time," right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, "Here are the best instructions for hard-boiling an egg you've ever seen." But today, 2019, the headline would most naturally be, "You've been boiling eggs wrong your whole life."
Exactly, yeah.
And for sure. And that whole thing that, like, there is something right in front of you, even the idea of life hacks that has become so popular in the last few years, the idea that everything in life is a code to be cracked and that it's almost pleasurable. I think people enjoy it. They don't feel insulted when they see a headline saying you've been doing such and such wrong your whole life. They feel like suddenly their life is an interesting puzzle or a mystery that is solvable.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
Journalist Mark Harris is the author of the New York Magazine cover story, "The Matrix Built Our Reality-Denying World." Find out more about Mark and the Matrix at WPR.org/beta.
Anytime I start talking about my mother, I'm like likely to break into tears. But she's the person that introduced me to this music, and to me, it's her culture.
Madison's country music scholar Bill Malone joins us. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.